God bless you. Please be seated. Wonderful. You know what you're doing? You might be just sitting there, but guess what you're doing? You're growing. Did you know that? Yes. Physically. Yeah, you pregnant ladies especially, you got a double dose of the growing going on. But yes, we're growing because physically cells are growing. Thousands of cells every minute are being made in your body. You know, some die. Now, I'm not sure. I've heard it's a year, maybe it's a month or something, but like 95% of your physical body is replaced with new cells and things like that. It's the nature of our physical body to grow like that. And when it comes to growing, there's three areas where we can grow. Physically, which I just mentioned to you, mentally, and spiritually. So that's what we're going to talk about today is growing. So physically, as I mentioned to you, our body, the cells in our body are producing all kinds of things going on there physically. Mentally we grow. How do we mentally grow? Yeah, information. Yeah, we're mentally seeing. We're five senses are pretty active, right? We're seeing things. Stuff's going on in our minds. We've got television. We've got computers. The information age. Boy, there's so much information going on, and our minds are just being fed all this information. And then spiritually, we grow. Spiritually, we're growing. Now, if you're born again of God's Spirit, you've got Christ in you. You have the fullness of all that God wanted you to have. You are completely complete in Christ, right? So spiritually we have that. We are full and complete. But as we live our life, we want to live for our Heavenly Father. And we want to grow spiritually. You know what? I bet that's why you're here today. Now I know Susie makes some great refreshments. And I would come too, just for the refreshments. And even the fellowship's pretty sweet too, isn't it? So, but you know, I trust you come because you want to grow spiritually. You want to feed on God's Word. And certainly, you know, the love of God and the fellowship we have, we grow that way too, right? It's a spiritual thing, I believe. Because by God's Word, in our minds, we can know more of our Heavenly Father, what He's made available for us. Who are we in Christ? How do we find that out? Through a knowledge of God's Word. So, with this in mind, I want to share with you something that I trust will motivate you, help you continue to grow. And now I'm not going to give you some new diet. Can't help you physically so much. And I don't have any suggestions for some positive motivational books. I think there's a big speech or a bunch of folks coming in Tuesday or something like that. You can go to that if you'd like to be mentally built up to grow in that area. But spiritually, we want to grow. And there's a little key that I want to share to help you grow. And it's called receive, retain, release. The three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. The three R's. No, the receive, retain, release. All right? And let's go to James, if you would, please. Chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to look at this. I know we all want to grow. And I trust this simple formula will help you grow, especially spiritually, especially in your walk with our Heavenly Father. Because we have to receive first. And it says in James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, the words of life, God's word. It's the engrafted word. And how do we receive that word? Humbly, with meekness, with meekness. We've got to go to God's word with a humble heart. We really do. That's what God's word says. That's how we receive God's word. It is the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. How do you get born again? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get born again, Romans 10:9. So we receive with meekness the engrafted word. So once we receive the word, we want to hold on to it, don't we? We want to retain that word. Let's go to Titus. Take a look at Titus. All right. Timothy, Titus. In chapter 1, verse 9 of Titus. Chapter 1. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So how do we hold on to that word? We hold on to it because it's a faithful word. If God says it, he is going to bring it to pass, isn't he? God will bring his word to pass. We're just faithful. We know he's faithful, right? God is faithful. So we hold on to that word. We don't let anybody talk us out of God's word, do we? Because it's a precious word. It got us born again. It teaches us how to walk, how to be wonderful sons and daughters of God. Okay? Now there's another important part in this growing factor. And that is releasing the word. Releasing the word. So you can only feed yourself, you know, so much, and then you got to release, right? All right. So let's take a look at Philippians here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Verse 16, chapter 2 of Philippians. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. There'll be a day when Christ comes back, and you know what's going to really matter? Is the words of life you've held forth. Holding forth the words of life that I may rejoice in the day. We're going to rejoice in that day because we've been holding forth God's word. We release that word because it's the word of life. Somebody shared God's word with me and I got born again. There's no greater thing that you'll ever do for anybody than to help them get born again of God's Spirit. And then help them grow in God's word so that they can help somebody else get born again and walk with God. It's the greatest business in the whole world. Being a son of God, walking in the body of Christ, holding forth the words of life. It's the greatest job on the face of the earth. Do you see that? Man, we've got to really appreciate that. But see, this word of God, as we receive it, we've got to share it with others. We've really got to let it go. I would like to illustrate this principle with you so that you get this into your minds and will never forget it. So I need two lovely volunteers to come help me. Two small, little volunteers. Ah, here they come. Why don't you go up this? Well, okay, go up that way. Now, I want to illustrate for you with these balloons. All right? On the balloons, it says receive, retain, release. So let me get you a balloon here. All right? Okay, first thing we got to do here is to get this balloon meek to receive, right? So kind of stretch it out there, okay? Get not too far now. Stretch them out, a little sideways too. All right? So, to receive, right, we got to blow up the balloon. Are ready? Let's blow them up. Okay, that's good. Very good. See? Receive, retain, release. Now, I'm retaining the word, right? I'm holding on to it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go because it's a faithful word. We hold on to it. But then it's the word of life and we need to hold it forth, right? So have your balloons talk. All right. Now, it's really, there it goes. Now what happens? We gotta continue. It's a continued cycle, isn't it? Continued cycle. Thank you very much, ladies. You can have those balloons, but I want you to do something first, okay? Go ahead and deflate that. Oop. Okay, I want you to put these in your pocket. Okay. And don't get them out until after fellowship, all right? Because okay. I want you to listen to the rest of the teaching, okay? Yeah. All right. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Now, after the fellowship, if any of you would like a receive, retain, release balloon, they're available in the bookstore for three for a dollar. No, you're welcome to have some. All right? So, receive, retain, release. I would like to emphasize one aspect today especially, and that's the release part. How important it is to speak out God's word. We have received so much of the wonderful word of God. And you know what we need to do is hold it forth. Share the word with other people. It says in Matthew 10:8, I'll just share briefly with you, freely you have received, freely what? Give. Freely give. Jesus Christ was all about holding forth the word of God, wasn't he? Would he in Matthew 9, he talks about that he would teach them to pray for laborers to the harvest, right? Jesus Christ was very concerned about the outreach of God's word. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, if you would, please. The last thing that Jesus Christ did, the last words, were with this subject of holding forth God's word. He mentions in Mark, at the end of Mark, go ye unto all the world and teach the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 1, his very last words before he left, he was received up into heaven, the ascension. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, even San Diego. Now, I didn't say that last part, but we are uttermost part of the earth. Move God's word. He wanted the word to move out. And when you look in the book of Acts, it was all about moving God's word, holding it forth. There were about, what, 3,000 souls the first day there on the day of Pentecost, Peter 1. Let's go to Acts 5:20 and look at this important aspect of growth And this was certainly evident in the early church as a body for their growth, that they worked together to move God's Word, to hold it forth. So in chapter 5, verse 20, here's the exhortation. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now in that culture, the temple area is where people hung out for the most part. It was the modern day mall, okay? You know, that's where people go, the mall, you know, hanging out at the mall kind of thing. Well, the temple area, a lot of stuff went on, and that's where they were to go to hold forth the words of life. It says in Acts 6, 7, the word of God increased. It mentions in Acts chapter 8 about Philip in Samaria. He preached the word. Talks about the word was scattered abroad, or they were scattered abroad, speaking the word. Chapter 9, it talks about the churches had rest and they were multiplied. Acts chapter 11, great number believed and turned to the Lord. Acts chapter 13, the Gentiles were glorified, or Gentiles were one, and they glorified the word and it was published. Acts 16, you can go to chapter 19, we'll read that one. In Acts chapter 16, the churches were established and increased in number daily. So it's all about moving God's Word. And yes, they had to receive it. They had to learn it. They had to hold on to it. But boy, that Word was so precious that they held it forth. It was very important. This is the early church. The words of life was reaching out to the world. Chapter 19, verse 20. And it reads here, so mightily grew the word of God and what? Prevailed. That's what we want to see. What is our goal? Our goal is to do the Father's will. The Father's will is that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Come to a knowledge of the truth. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, please. We want to help people hear God's Word. You know, our lives should be all about speaking God's Word, witnessing, inviting people to fellowship, sharing what God did for you. What a wonderful way to share God's Word in that, you know, people, if you start preaching Scripture to people, you know, they don't get too excited. But if you just share your life with people, they see the love of God in your life, you share what God's doing for you, if they're hungry, they're going to ask some questions. And you'll have some answers. You know, you'll be ready to give an answer, right? So, what a wonderful part of growing, and that is holding forth God's Word. You know, invite people to fellowship. Our fellowship should be training centers, not entertaining sinners. They should be launching pads, not hangers. I'm quoting from somebody, I forget who said this. Another thing, our goal should be teaching, training, equipping men and women to fulfill their roles in the body of Christ. We all have a role in the body of Christ. We all are receiving, we're all learning. We're all holding on to the precious Word of God, and we're all holding it forth in our own wonderful, unique ways. And we need to continue to do that. You know, Romans chapter 1 here, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Here's the great foundational basic Word of God here for right believing. And right here in this opening section, this first chapter, verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, what a wonderful opportunity that you and I have to hold forth God's word. You know, to invite people to fellowship, to just hang out with folks. And God works with you as you work with people and help them feed and receive God's word. Colossians, please. Colossians. So this morning we're just seeing the simple pattern of growth, and with the importance of releasing God's word, speaking it out. So in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, pretty familiar verse, I think, to many of us. 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Barney did such a fantastic job teaching Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, we've been emphasizing who you are in Christ the last month or so, right? Who are you in Christ? To walk with the dynamics of being a son of God with Christ in you. And we're kind of making a transition here, because in my thinking here, okay, we've got it all. We are Christ in us. We've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues. We have 9 manifestations. Look out, world. Let's hold it forth. Let's help people really have the opportunity to know God's word. And then we're going to be getting into this month of March. We're going to be looking at people that move God's word, that live God's word, that really made it happen in their time. So it's going to be real exciting. It'll be capped off with Joshua. So we'll get into different individuals in the Bible here the next few Sundays. So something to look forward to. Pretty neat. Holding forth God's word and making it happen. But here in Colossians 1:27, we read the verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man. Another translation says, putting into the mind of every man and teaching every man. How many men? Every. See, here we've got Christ in us, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Wow, what a goal. What a thing to do. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Man, we should have just great expectation of ourselves when it comes to holding forth God's word. You know, don't be afraid to talk the word. Don't be afraid to use Jesus Christ. A lot of people are not afraid to use it in a derogative sense. We can say it in a positive, believing sense. Speaking the word, nothing like it. You know, Jeannie, we were talking, and Jeannie had a wonderful opportunity recently to share God's word. And I thought it would be nice to have a little testimony of somebody sharing God's word.
As a lot of you know, I come from a big family. I have 6 brothers and 3 sisters, and have been holding forth the love of God and the Word of God for a long time with them. And my brother George recently, he actually took Power for Abundant Living in the 70s and took a portion of the class and then quit. But he's had a lot of problems over the years, and I always knew that if he would just hear the Word, his life would change. And in October, he actually had a nervous breakdown. And in November, my sister Carol, who lives in New York, and she's a born-again Christian, and fellowships with the Catholic Church too. But she speaks in tongues, and she ministered healing to him. And he was delivered of a depression spirit that had been on him his whole life. And when she was praying for him, she also spoke in tongues over him. And in December, he had some needed some help with his car, so I went and helped him. And while we were waiting for his car to pass the smog test, which they said it'll be either $300 or $1,200, so we prayed. And people, they want to see power. While we were praying, well, after we prayed, we just said, God's got it taken care of. The car passed inspection. It was $300. And while we were waiting for a half hour, I said, so, are you ready to speak in tongues? And he said, yeah, how long will it take? And I said, well, right now. So I led him into tongues. And since that time, his whole life has changed. He speaks in tongues all the time. God's talking to him, and he hears him. January, he was desperately in need of work and housing, and God opened the door after him. He called me and said, I got all these things going. I said, well, where's God in this? He spoke negative. So I said, well, you have to remember we're not speaking negative anymore. We're speaking the power of God. And 2 hours after, it's a long story, but 2 hours after that conversation, his friend from high school who has a construction company called him and said, I have a job for you. Paying $38 an hour construction work. He's never done any construction work in his life. 38 years old, he's 58 years old. And to learn a new trade like this, so his friend said, just show up. He says, what do I do? Just show up. So he's been working for about 8 weeks now, and God is opening tremendous doors for him. Almost 2 weeks ago, a big boulder fell on his foot, and his foot swelled, all this stuff. He didn't want to report anything because he didn't want to lose his job. So about 4 days later, he called me and said, I can't even put my shoe. I worked all night, and I can't put my shoe on, and I think I need to go see the doctor. So he said, I've got a lot of fear. I said, okay, the fear isn't a God has provided this job for you. He's going to take care of you. See, that's the thing. When God provides something for us, we have to realize, like, we don't have any care. He's going to walk us through it. So I just prayed on the phone with him. He went to the doctor. The doctor first said, yes, broken. It's going to be 6 weeks. You're going to be out of work. I said, your foot's healed. So after they did x-rays, they said, it's not broken. You've got swelling, so you're going to need to be off of it for about 6 weeks. Well, he went home, and 4 days later, he went back to work. And he worked for 3 days. Then the HR found out he didn't have a doctor's sign off that it was okay. So that's really not good with workers' comp. So he went to the doctor. The doctor said, what's wrong with your foot? There was not even the trace of it. And it was a good 6 to 8 weeks that they were figuring. But he is just seeing how God is providing. I've continued over the years to feed him the word. And that's what we have to do. And we work with people where they're at, but are always there committed to pray for them and to see them grow. And Leslie's been really great calling him. And we have to under-shepherd people to the point where they're ready to receive. But this Joshua seminar will be a great time to bring someone that you've been speaking the word to. But God wants us to speak the word. And so George now, with his life changing, my older brother is seeing it. And he's starting to see, maybe God can do that for me. And, you know, the power of God is tremendous, and we understand it. So we've got to just be faithful and pray for people and expect God to put people in our path. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. You know, speaking the word is not just going out on the street corner and, you know, handing somebody a Bible tract or whatever. It's doing these kind of things. Talking to your friends, under-shepherding people, teaching the word in fellowship. Just encouraging somebody. A brother and sister has a need, and will you pray for me? Yes. Let's pray. We pray. Share a scripture or something with each other. We're just living a lifestyle. Receive, retain, release. And I just wanted to emphasize the release part, because I think that's the part we maybe work on the most at this point. is just to hold forth the word. Let's close in Philippians, please. Let's go back to that wonderful scripture, chapter 2. And let's look at the context a little bit more here. Verse 12. Okay. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. That's the King James I'm reading from. The better translation is demonstrate, use your salvation, your wholeness, who you are, with fear and trembling. And that means with awe, with respect. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who's going to work within you to do this thing, to hold forth God's word? God is. Oh my goodness. To know that God is going to work within me to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you believe that's true? God's word says He will do that. You know, sometimes people think, you know, you say, hey, God told me to do that. God told you to do? Oh my golly, He talked to you? Yes. If you have a child, don't you talk with them? Yes. We need to get our head out of somewhere and put it up in the clouds where we are seated in the heavenlies, right? You know, we're seated at the... Here's God right here. And right side, right? Hi, God. Hi, son. It's right there. We should have that expectation. To will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights, lights in this world, illuminaries in this dark, crazy world, holding forth the words of life, holding forth the words of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yes! Yea! And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, oh no! No! I joy and rejoice! If I have an opportunity to help somebody believe God's word, hallelujah! I'm excited about that! Why? Because it's the word of life. We're helping people live a godly life. See, holding forth God's word is a joy and rejoicing. Verse 18 says, for the same cause also do you what? Joy and rejoice with me. So ladies and gentlemen, fellow believers, let's have a joy and rejoicing time holding forth God's word, okay? Okay. So, Heavenly Father, we're very grateful and thankful for the privilege we have to be born again of Your Spirit, to have Christ within, all these wonderful sonship rights, Father. And boy, with all this, we can do so much in helping Your people, Father, by holding forth Your words of life. So, thank You for giving us the privilege. Thank You for giving us the ministry of reconciliation. And the words of reconciliation, so that we can bring men back to You. So we love You, Heavenly Father, and thank You for calling us in Your family and giving us the opportunity to grow with You. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to have a great time.